الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue with the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa, particularly ayah number 92, wherein أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says, وما كان لمؤمن أن يقتل مؤمنا إلا خطأ ومن قتل مؤمنا خطأ فتحرير رقبة مؤمنة ودية مسلمة إلى أهله إلا أن يصدقوا، فإن كان من قوم عدو لكم وهو مؤمن فتحرير رقبة مؤمنة، وإن كان من قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق فدية مسلمة إلى أهله وتحرير رقبة مؤمنة، فمن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين توبة من الله وكان الله عليما حكيما. And never is it for a believer to kill a believer except by mistake. And whoever kills a believer by mistake, then the freeing of a believing slave and a compensation payment presented to the deceased family is required, unless they give up their right as charity. But if the deceased was from a people at war with you, and he was a believer, then only the freeing of a believing slave. And if he was from a people with whom you have a treaty, then a compensation payment presented to his family and the freeing of a believing slave. And whoever does not find one or cannot afford to buy one, between parentheses, then instead a fast for 2 months consecutively, seeking acceptance of repentance from Allah, and Allah is ever knowing and wise. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, هذه الصيغة من صيغ الامتناع. هذه الصيغة من صيغ الامتناع. صيغة. What do we mean by صيغة here? This form, this structure. And here the sentence structure. Because in Arabic, as in English and other languages, but more so in Arabic, the manner in which you place the words in a sentence or the order of the words in a sentence will change the meaning even if you're using the same words. Even if you are using the same words, the change of order necessitates the change of meaning. Either by strengthening the meaning, waalaikum salam, or weakening the meaning, or exclusive, making the meaning exclusive. And we've given many examples to that. Like, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Verily, the only ones who fear Allah among His slaves are the scholars. This is an exclusivity because Allah began the sentence with إِنَّمَا. Had it been الْعُلَمَاءُ يَخْشَوْنَ اللَّهِ, the scholars fear Allah, it would mean, by default, that all others as well. And mentioning them is just mentioning them, while not mentioning the others. When you say إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ, now you've made it exclusive to the scholars, as in no one else shares this quality with them in the ultimate sense, obviously. Otherwise everybody has some sort of share. They have a share of that fear, but not in the sense which is ultimate, like the scholars have it. مِنْ صِيَغَ الْإِمْتِنَاعِ. It's like, imtina is like something which is unlikely, something which is not befitting, unbecoming, inappropriate, unacceptable. You see what I'm saying? أَيَّمْتَنِعْ وَيَسْتَحِيلْ أَنْ يَصْدُرَ مِنْ مُؤْمِنٍ قَتْلُ مُؤْمِنٍ. Allahu Akbar. أي متعمدًا. Meaning it is not doable, it is impossible that a believer, a true believer, will kill another believer deliberately. It negates your iman. It negates the iman of a person. وفي هذا الإخبار بشدة تحريمه وأنه مناف للإيمان أشد منافات. In this, Allah is informing us about the level of prohibition, the high level of prohibition in that sin. Because some things are more haram, they're more abhorrent and more grave. The gravity, how about that word? The gravity of prohibition. And the fact that it negates faith in the ultimate sense. The greatest kind of negation is a believer killing a believer, because it negates his belief. وَإِنَّمَا يَصْدُرُ ذَلِكَ إِمَّا مِنْ كَافِرٍ أَوْ مِنْ فَاسِقٍ قَدْ نَقَصَ إِيمَانُهُ نَقَصًا عَظِيمًا وَيُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ مَا هُوَ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. This action does not occur except from a disbeliever killing a believer, or a believer, or a disobedient person whose iman has tremendously decreased and went down to the point where you're afraid that he will fall into something which is even greater than that. فَإِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ الصَّحِيحِ يَمْنَعُ الْمُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَتْلِ أَخِيهِ الَّذِي قَدْ عَقَدَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ الْأُخُوَّةَ الْإِيمَانِيَّةَ التي من مقتضاها محبته وموالاته وإزالة ما يعرض لأخيه من الأذى. Because true iman prevents the believer from killing his brother, the one whom Allah Himself has placed a covenant between the two of brotherhood in faith, which amongst its byproducts, loving him and taking him as a friend and protector and protecting him, and removing any harm which may come his way. Removing any harm which may come his way. وَأَيُّ أَذَى أَشَدْ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. If you're supposed to remove harm from his way, then what harm is greater than you killing him? يعني if iman expects of you to get things which bother him out of his way, then what about if you killed him, which is the greatest form of harm, because after which there's nothing else. Khalas. وَهَذَا يَصْدُقُهُ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَوْ يُصَدِّقُهُ لَا تَرْجِعُوا بَعْدِي كُفَّارًا يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, do not become disbelievers after me, striking each other's necks. Yani he made the act of Muslims fighting against each other kufr. La tarji'u ba'di kuffara. Don't go back to kufr after me. Yadribu ba'dukum a'naqa ba'd. Some of you striking the necks of others. Aw yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd. Na'am. Striking the necks of each other. فعلم أن القتل من الكفر العملي. So now we know that قتل is a form of كفر. But كفر عملي meaning كفر in action. Why did the Shaykh say كفر عملي? You should have an answer.
Well, it doesn't take some amount of Islam. It's an act that you are committing كفر. But it's not كفر in faith.
Good. What term would he have used if he wanted to speak about kufr which will take you outside of Islam? This is kufr amali, from amal, in action, meaning an act of disbelief. What would we call the kufr? Kufr
is
no. Khlas. Okay, but there's usually another term they use. Kufrun aqadi. Aqadi from what? Aqidah. Yani i'tiqad. Kufr fil i'tiqad. Disbelief in one's creed. That takes you outside of Islam. That takes you outside of Islam. While this one, no. Why? Because we have ayat like in Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the believers fighting. The believers fighting one another, and he called them at the end, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Verily, the believers are none but a brotherhood. And Allah told the believers how to deal with each other one day fighting, and they still called them brothers to one another. So this shows you the danger that that may lead you to kufr. But the scholars do not say that the person who kills a believer is a kafir. But he's committing a grave, grave, major sin. And one of the greatest grave sins after associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, ولما كان قوله وما كان لمؤمن أن يقتل مؤمنا لفظا عاما لجميع الأحوال وأنه لا يصدر من قتل من منه قتل أخيه بوجه من الوجوه استثنى تعالى قتل الخطأ. Now when the ayah in the beginning was, it's a general term which encompasses all situations, and the fact that there's no way on earth a believer will kill a believer, Allah Azza wa Jal made an exception, which is the unintentional killing. The one done by mistake. You run over someone, you know, with your car. Someone jumps in front of you, you run them over. Or, you know, you may be doing something and the gun kind of, you know, you lose control of the gun and you wind up shooting someone with a stray bullet. Whatever, whatever. Something along these lines. فَقَالَ إِلَّا خَطَأً Except by mistake. فَإِنَّ الْمُقْتَلَ الَّذِي لَا يَقْصُدُ الْقَتْلِ غَيْرَ آثِمٍ The one who killed someone by mistake, unintentionally, is not sinful. Is not, but is he reliable? Is he liable for the error? He is. But is he sinful? No. ولا متجرئاً على محارم الله. And he's not someone who's يعني transgressing against Allah's limitations. متجرئ جرأة. Someone who has the audacity or the bravery. He doesn't have, he's not يعني, trying to challenge. He's not challenging. المتجرئ is like challenging. ولكنه لما كان قد فعل فعلا شنيعا وصورته كافية في قبحه وإن لم يقصده أمر تعالى بالكفارة والدية. Now, because what he had done is so ugly and abhorrent, even just in its appearance, the act of killing someone, even if you did it by mistake, you didn't mean it, but the act itself, you still killed someone, because of the gravity and the abhorrence of that act, even if it's unintentional, Allah commanded that there should be a kafara and a diyah. What is kafara? Expiation, excelente, amigo, expiation. What is diyah? Blood money, compensation. نعم. فقال ومن قتل مؤمنا خطأ, whoever kills a believer by mistake, سواء كان القاتل ذكرا أو أنثى, حرا أو عبدا, صغيرا أو كبيرا, عاقلا أو مجنونا, مسلما أو كافرا. Whether the killer is male or female, whether he's free or a slave, whether he is young or old, whether he is sane or insane, whether he is a Muslim or a disbeliever. كما يفيده لفظ من. Just like the term من necessitates that generality. من قتل مؤمنا خطأ. Whoever. And when you say in English whoever, is there an exception? There is an exception. Whoever means? Whoever. That's what it means. Very good explanation. طيب. الدالة على العموم, a word which denotes generality, encompassment. وهذا من أسرار الإتيان بمن في هذا الموضع. This is one of the secrets behind using that term من in this context. That pronoun is used in this context deliberately by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring this meaning about. Because we have other pronouns we can use in the Arabic language, but Allah didn't use them. He used one here which encompasses all. فَإِنَّ سِيَاقَ الْكَلَامِ سِيَاقَ الْكَلَامِ يَقْتَدِي أَنَّهُ يَقُولُ فَإِنْ قَتَلَهُ وَلَكِنْ هَذَا لَفْظٌ لَا يَشْمَلْ مَا تَشْمَلَهُ مَنْ. The context of the ayat should say, as far as we know, If he kills him, but that does not include what the term man includes. That does not include what the term man includes. Where did I stop? سواء كان المقتول فإن قتله ولكن هذا خطأ ليه؟ فإن الساق لم يكتد أن يقول فإن قتله ولكن هذا لفظ لا يشمل المتزمة. طيب وسواء كان المقتول ذكرا أو أنثى صغيرا أو كبيرا. Whether the one killed is male or female, young or old. كما يفيده التنكير في سياق الشرط. As the, of course here this is very technical grammar and it's always difficult to translate grammar to grammar because the grammars are not the same. Nevertheless, we say tankir. Tankir is when a word does not have the definite article the. In the English language, you have definite articles and indefinite articles. The boy, a boy. When you say a boy, it's a, I don't know which boy you're talking about. It's a boy, some boy in the world. The boy, usually the one you're speaking to knows who you're talking about. So you told him yesterday about a boy that you saw, and you tell him the next day the boy that you know, the boy was shot dead. He doesn't have to tell you. Usually he knows which boy you are referring to because of the usage of the. If you said a boy was shot dead, it's like which boy? You see what I'm saying? So we have this idea in English where you define something with the usage of the article the, or of course a or an. An is used whenever the word begins with what? A vowel. A vowel. What are the vowels? Huh? What are the vowels?
A-I-U.
Ish hada, jama'at al-khair. Pronounce the letters correctly, jama'at al-khair. Ish ayu, ayu, ayu. Ish ayu, ayu. How many? You have four vowels now? A?
E?
E?
I?
O? U?
Yeah? So any word which begins with these, you put an before?
Yes.
So you say I'm going to an university? I joined an union. Why do you say university, a university, a union, and not an? But you say an umbrella. You don't say I'm using an umbrella. Why? What are the English language here? What are these exceptions? The sound of the U. If the sound of the U is a, umbrella, you use an. If the sound of the U is U like the Y in yellow, yeah, yeah, university. Or along these lines, there's that E sound, then that rule drops. And you no longer say an, you say a university, a union. Anything that begins with a U sound, then it's no longer treated as a U. Is that clear? All of you will fail in English except a few. طيب. So how did I get here? Naam. So that's in English. In Arabic we have the same thing. Tankir and ta'rif. Ta'rif is alif lam. Al-walad, the boy. Walad, a boy. So when something is nakira, means it does not have the definite article, which denotes also generality in the meaning. Then we have tankir fi siyaq al-shart. What is that? What is that in English? What kind of grammar? Siyaq al-shart, shart, jumla shartiyya. Conditional phrase. You have the conditional phrases in English. If you come on time, we'll be able to go. If, the usage of if or anything which gives that same meaning. So in Arabic, whenever there's a word, a noun, that is not identified by the definite article the, in a conditional phrase, this also denotes generality. Just like men did. Just like men did earlier. Is that clear? I hope so. فَإِنَّ عَلَى الْقَاتِلِ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ. The killer has to free a believing. Now raqaba, what is raqaba? Neck. Does that mean he will, you know, free his neck and keep his body? No, just in case someone get, you know, philosophical. Chop him off, you know, keep it, set his neck free and then reattach his head to his body with no neck. Say, Allah, I set a neck free. No, Habibi. When the term is used, it refers to the whole. It refers to the whole. Even if the term uses neck, because usually the one who's owned is like grabbed by the neck. كَفَارَةً لِذَلِكَ. So you have to free a believing slave as an expiation for that. تكون في ماله. And this would be from his money. يشمل ذلك الصغير والكبير والذكر والأنثى والصحيح والمعيب في قول بعض العلماء. Now, this includes the young and the old, the male and the female, the one who's sound and the one who has some problem, according to the statement of some of the scholars. ولكن الحكمة تقتضي أن لا يجزئ عتق المعيب في الكفارة. They're speaking about the slave now. The slave himself. Some of the ulama say it doesn't matter whether male or female, old or young, whether he is sound or has some defect in his body, maybe handicap, maybe something. Well, but the Shaykh said wisdom necessitates that you do not free someone who has a defect. It doesn't suffice. It doesn't suffice for the kafara. لأن المقصود بالعتق نفع العتيق وملكه منافع نفسه. Because the objective behind freeing the slave is that he is able to benefit and he benefit from owning himself. فإذا كان يضيق بعتقه وبقاه في الرقعة فعلا فإنه لا يزيع عتقه. If his life will become difficult upon freeing him, and being enslaved is better for him, then it is no good. It doesn't suffice that you set him free. Because some people, if they were given a chance to be freed, they will have a life to live. Some of them are khalas, programmed. Or they may have a reason why they will be dysfunctional in the society. They will be dysfunctional in the society because of some sort of problem in them. In this case, it's better not to free them. Because this is not good for him. It is not good for him. Even though the statement of Allah, تحرير الرقبة, is that which necessitates that. فإن التحرير تخليص من استحقت منافعه لغيره أن تكون له. The concept of freeing is that the one who had rights or that which benefits him, belonging to him, you kind of return it back to him, that it is given back to him. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي مَنَافِعٍ, if there's no benefit in him, لَمْ يُتَصَوَّرْ وُجُوهُ التَّحْرِيرِ, you cannot really understand the idea behind freeing that person. It defeats the objective, as they say. فَتَأَمَّلْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ وَاضِحَ, the Shaykh said, reflect upon that, it is evident. And I'll tell you, during your own time, reflect upon that, it is evident. وَأَمَّا الدِّيَا فَإِنَّهَا تَجِبُ عَلَىٰ عَاقِلَةِ الْقَاتِلِ فِي الْخَطَأِ. عَاقِلَة or عَائِلَة. عاقلة. عاقلة القاتل في الخطأ وشبه العمد. مسلمة إلى أهله جبرا لقلوبهم. Yeah, well, it's the same thing here. The diya, the blood money, the compensation is to be given to the family of the deceased. Whether في الخطأ, the intentional homicide, and the one which is not. Somewhat intentional homicide. مُسَلَّمَةً إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, it is to be delivered to his family. جَبْرًا لِقُلُوبِهِمْ. What is جَبْرًا?
The compulsion. Force.
That's one of the meanings. And جَبْر means when you break your arm. And what is that thing that you put cast? Gips. Yeah, but what is it called in English?
Cast.
That's a few. Cast, yeah. That one is also jabr. Jabr for look, yes, yeah. You say in the dua between the sajdatain. Rabbi ighfirli warhamni wahdini wa'afini warzuqni wajburni. Here you don't say in Allah force me to do so. Jabr here is when something is broken and you put it back together. Rectifying something that has been broken. Specifically, specifically feelings, your heart, a broken heart, يَجْبُرْ خَاطِرَهُ. So جَبْرًا لِقُلُوبِهِمْ is means of reconciling their hearts, or fixing their hearts, or rectifying their hearts, or easing, you know, making the feeling easy of that heartbroken feeling. وَالْمُرَادْ بِأَهْلِهِ هُنَا هُمْ وَرَثَتُهُ. What is intended by his ahl are his ears, or the inheritors. فإن الورثة يرثون ما ترك الميت. The inheritors inherit what the deceased leaves behind. فالدية داخلة فيما ترك. That blood money is included in what he has left behind. It becomes part of his wealth. So it is given to his family. وللدية تفاصيل كثيرة مذكورة في كتب الفقه. And the diya has a lot of details mentioned in the books of fiqh. Meaning we're not going to mention it now. وقوله إلا أن يصدقوا أن يتصدق ورثة القتيل بالعفو عن الدية. Unless they give up their right in charity. Meaning the family of the deceased, unless they give a charity, the inheritors, they give a charity by pardoning and avoiding, they don't want that compensation, that blood money. فَإِنَّهَا تَسْقُطُ then it will be removed. وَفِي ذَلِكَ حَثٌ لَهُمْ عَلَى الْعَفُوِ In that, Allah is encouraging them to pardon. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمَّاهَا صَدَقَ Because Allah called it what? صَدَقَ When Allah calls it صَدَقَ, that means you should hasten to get that ajr for the صَدَقَ. والصدقة مطلوبة في كل وقت. صدقة is needed and is expected and is required at all times. فإن كان المقتول من قوم عدو لكم نعم أي من كفار حربيين. Nice. If the deceased is from a people who are enemies to you. Meaning they are kuffar, disbelievers, harbiyin. What does that mean?
In a war.
Mm.
In a civil war.
From which word?
Harb.
Harbiyin, of course, we have a family, al-harbi. Right? Many people are harbis. But that's not what we're talking about here. Harbi is someone who is a combatant, in other words. That's why they say غَيْرُ حَرْبِ non-combatant. And these are the terms used in Islam when it comes to how to deal with the kuffar in terms of what is acceptable in jihad and what is not. So when you say, you know, these civilians, innocent civilians, meaning these non-combatants, it's haram for you to kill non-combatants in Islam. And doing so becomes a form of transgression. But combatants, hey, that's a whole other discussion. Which we have discussed many times in this class and no other class. So we're not going to repeat it now. So if they're from that family, if he's from the deceased, is from the disbelievers with whom you are at war. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ But he is a believer. فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ You only free a believing slave. وَأَيْ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ دِيَّةٌ You don't have to pay his family compensation money. لِعَدَمِ احْتِرَامِهِمْ فِي دَمِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ Because they don't have that veneration when it comes to their blood and their wealth. They don't have it. They're kuffar. The kuffar are the enemies of Allah. And the enemies of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the enemies of Islam. And the enemies of the truth. And the enemies of Jannah. And the enemies of the prophets, and the enemies of revelation, and the enemies of the scriptures. They're the enemies of everything which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made sacred. The kuffar's main job is to go against all of these divinely revealed instructions, ignore them, come up with ones of their own, favor them over Allah's, and invite the people to them. Big hypocrites. So they don't deserve what a believer deserves, obviously. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمَقْتُولِ However, if the deceased مِنْ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ A people with which you have a covenant or a treaty. فَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِي وَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٌ Then, compensation, blood money delivered to his family and the freeing of a believing slave. وَذَلِكَ لِإِحْتِرَامِ أَهْلِهِ بِمَا لَهُمْ مِنَ الْعَهْدِ وَالْمِيثَاقِ This is because of the respect that this family has due to the treaty. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ أَيْ الرَّقَبَ وَلَا ثَمَنُهَا The one who's unable to find the slave or its price, its cost. Because you may own it and then you free it. Or you may have to buy one and free it. If you don't have one to free, nor do you have the cost for it, بأن كان معسرا بذلك أو معسرا بذلك, if it is difficult for you, ليس عنده ما يفضل من عن مؤنته وحوائجه الأصلية شيء يفي بالرقبة. He doesn't have surplus of money beyond what is necessary for his survival and his needs to be able to free a believing slave. فصيام شهرين متتابعين. Then the fasting of two consecutive months, or 2 months consecutively. That makes a difference actually. Fasting 2 months consecutively, back to back every day, 60 days, or depends, could be 58, if it's 29 days of the month, sahih? 58, 59, 60. Of course. Now, question, when else in Islam does someone fast 2 months? What other fidya or expiation you're expected to fast 2 months besides this one? Everybody knows that one, mashallah. Good. When one has sexual relation, intercourse with his wife during the day of Ramadan while fasting. But is it the first thing that you do? But is it the first thing?
First you have to fast.
You can pray, sleep.
That's the first thing.
The first thing is
fast
2 months. So the Sahabi said, I'm unable. He said, then tasaddaq on 60 people, right? And he said, I don't have the means to pay sadaqah. Oh no, wait a second, we're missing one. Freeing a slave. Unable, fast 2 months. Unable, then you feed 60 people. That's why the last thing that happened to the Sahabi, when someone brought some dates, he said, here, you know, give this to poor people. He said, there isn't anyone in Medina which is poorer than me. So he said, then take it and take it to your family and you eat it. So the last thing that happened was what? Alaykum salam, was the sadaqah. The last thing was the sadaqah. Hey.
How about the sexual intercourse during Hajj?
During Hajj?
In your state of Iraq?
Nah. Well, that's a violation of Hajj, and I don't remember the exact ruling.
Isn't there explanation for fasting also?
There's an expiation which is usually blood. But does it also invalidate Hajj? From what I remember, having relations during Hajj will invalidate your Hajj, but you still have to do it.
طول بالك
لو سيب الفاستنج. There's no fasting involved. If one has relations during Hajj, for the fatwa I remember, it invalidates the Hajj. He has to sacrifice an animal. If he can't, then fasting 3 days during Hajj and 7 when you return, this is 10. This is one of the alternatives for the fidya. And then, from what I remember, the Hajj is invalid, but he cannot say, okay, I'm going to then pack and go home. He still has to go through the whole Hajj while his Hajj is invalid, and he has to do Hajj again. Hey, if my memory serves me well, we can all look it up, ala kul hal, and verify that. But there's no 2 months in Hajj. Because I've heard it straight from the scholars, the two cases in Islam where you have to fast 2 months consecutively is this one, qatl al-mu'min khata, and the relations during Ramadan. Na'am, fasting. فصيام شهرين متتابعين, fasting 2 months consecutively, أي لا يفطر بينهما من غير عذر. He does not break his fast during these 2 months except because of an excuse. Like what? Eat? Eat what?
Eat.
Oh, Eid. Oh, okay, I thought you said eat. I said, and every day he's going to break his fast. Well, I have an excuse. What? I need to eat. Ah, what kind of fasting is this? How about sickness? How about travel? Menstruation? Good. Different examples of udhr. فَإِنَّ الْعُذْر لَا يَقْطَعُ التَّتَابُعُ. A valid excuse does not break off the consecutive consecutivity, if that's a word. It doesn't break it. It doesn't break that order, that connection. كَالْمَرَضِ وَالْحَيْدِ وَنَحْوِمَا, like sickness, menstruation, and what is there in their likes. وَإِنْ كَانَ لِغَيْرُ عُذُرْ إِنْ قَطَعَ التَّتَبْعُ, but if he breaks his fast for no valid excuse, then that connection is cut off and he has to start from zero. And imagine someone fast 58 days and on the 59th he got lazy, said, I'm just going to take a break today. Tell him when you're done, you have to go back now from zero and fast a whole 2 months again. نعم. ووجب علي استئناف الصوم توبة من الله. عفوا. Meaning this is as means of, all this is to seek repentance and the acceptance of repentance from Allah. أي هذه الكفارات التي أوجبها الله على القاتل توبة من الله على عباده. These expiations which Allah has commanded upon the killer is means of Allah to accept his repentance upon his slaves and mercy from him, وَتَكْفِيرًا لِمَا عَسَاهُ أَنْ يَحْصُلَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ تَقْصِيرٍ, and means of expiating what errors they may, or shortcomings they may get involved in, وَعَدَمْ احتراز, or lack of carefulness, كَمَا هُوَ الْوَاقِعَ كَثِيرًا لِلْقَاتِلِ الْخَطَأَ, as it is very common in the ones who are killed accidentally. You see what I'm saying? This happens all the time. People die. In this manner. Wallahu musta'an. Masallahu husnul khatima. Wa kana Allahu aliman hakeem. And Allah Azza wa Jal is ever all knowledgeable, all wise. Ay kamilul ilm, kamilul hikmah. Kamil, perfect. Perfect and complete in his knowledge. Perfect and complete in his wisdom. La yakhfa alayhi mithqalu dharratin fil ardi wa la fis sama. Nothing is hidden from Allah, not even the equivalent of an ant, not in the heavens nor on the earth. Dharra, in the language of the Arabs back then, was the ant. Then when they, then dharra became an atom in our time, which is amazing that the term used then will wind up finding a word today, which still is that of something very tiny. But back then they didn't have cells and nucleus and all this, you know, so the smallest thing they would see would be a tiny little ant. So they would call that dharra, dharra. But now we can give the other translation as well. في أي وقت كان وأي محل كان ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر. Nothing smaller than an atom or an ant, nor greater, in any place and at any time, or at any time in any place. ولا يخرج عن حكمته من المخلوقات والشرائع شيء. And there's nothing which doesn't include Allah's wisdom in His creation and His legislation in anything. There's nothing that has been void of the wisdom of Allah in its creation and in its legislation. Everything which Allah created and legislated, wisdom is part and parcel of that process. بل ما كان خلقه وشرعه فهو متضمن لغاية الحكمة. Rather we say, whatever is of Allah's creation and his legislation, then this already includes the epitome of wisdom. The epitome of wisdom. The ultimate wisdom and the ultimate sense. ومن علمه وحكمته أن أوجب على القاتل كفارة مناسبة لما صدر منه. From his knowledge and wisdom is that he commanded or he obliged the killer with an expiation appropriate to that which he did, appropriate to his action. فإنه تسبب لإعدام نفس أو إعدام نفس محترمة. He caused in the end or the destruction of a respected soul. He was the reason behind the killing of a respected soul. وأخرجها من الوجود إلى العدم, and he took it out of existence into non-existence. فناسب أن يعتق رقبة ويخرجها من رق العبودية للخلق إلى الحرية التامة. So it was appropriate that he would free a slave, so he will take him out from that slavery into freedom. From slavery into freedom. You see? So like he took one soul from existence to non-existence, in the same manner now he's freeing someone so he could take him from that state of almost non-existence to the state of existence. فإن لم يجد هذه الرقبة صام شهرين متتابعين. But if he's unable to find that slave to free, he has to fast two months consecutively. فأخرج نفسه من رق الشهوات واللذات الحسية القاطعة للعبد عن سعادته الأبدية إلى التعبد لله تعالى بتركه تقربا إلى الله. عجيب. So then he is removing himself. If he cannot free a slave, then what is he doing when he fasts 2 months? He is actually removing himself from the slavery of desires. The slavery of desires and entertainment and the things which are, you know, the tangible pleasures of the dunya, which prevent the slave from attaining the ultimate, you know, ultimate bliss in the life to come by him enslaving himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking nearness to him through abandonment of these particular actions. So he's still freeing himself. He's still freeing something from slavery. It's either a real slave or his own self. ومدها تعالى بهذه المدة الكثيرة الشاقة في عددها ووجوب التتابع فيها ولم يشرع الإطعام في هذه المواضع لعدم المناسبة بخلاف الظهار. أي we will see. And Allah عز وجل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made the duration long and difficult, and he made it obligatory that it is consecutive. It is consecutive. And he did not legislate feeding in this situation because it is inappropriate, unlike vihar. Vihar is when someone says to his wife, "You are haram upon me like the back of my mother." Meaning he is telling his wife, "You are like my mother to me." And the same way I would never approach my mother sexually, I will never approach you sexually. And this is something that is known, it was known among the Arabs back then. And it is means of kind of taking revenge from his wife and being upset with her. So he will swear that he will no longer have relations with her. And she is haram upon him like his mother is haram upon him. كما سأتي إن شاء الله تعالى. As this will come إن شاء الله تعالى. But this is interesting because we have to see whether the dhihar is included. Even though Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Khdair, والله أعلم على كل حال. ومن حكمته أن أوجب في القتل الدية ولو كان خطأ. From the wisdom of Allah is that he necessitated the blood money even if you did it by mistake. Why? لتكون رادعة وكافة عن كثير من القتل باستعمال الأسباب العاصمة عن ذلك. يعني when someone knows that what he's doing may wind up killing someone even by mistake, it will make people refrain from involving in these things which may lead to the killing of someone by mistake. Example, rallies. The rallies which they have, the race cars, not the Formula One, where they have an actual, you know, track, but the ones where you go in some wooden area. Now, where do the spectators stand? On the sides of the road. And you know how likely it is for you to lose control of the car on the corner and skid and run right into these people and kill them. So even though you will say he killed them intentionally or unintentionally, he wasn't trying to drive into them, when he knows he will be responsible for all of their blood money, he will say, "You know what, I need to find another job. I don't need to be racing no cars in this particular manner." So that was made so that anything which may lead to the people being lenient or negligent concerning causing others to die, they will avoid it because they know they're responsible for the compensation and the blood money. ومن حكمته أن أوجبت على العاقلة في قتل الخطأ بإجماع العلماء. And from his wisdom that it is also the same rule applies upon the women, the sound women, in the killing by mistake according to the consensus of the scholars. لكون القاتل لم يذنب, because the قاتل did not commit a sin. فيشق عليه أن يحمل هذه الدية الباهظة. So it is difficult for him to carry this expensive, very, you know, hefty blood money. فناسب أن يقوم بذلك من بينه وبينهم المعاونة والمناصرة والمساعدة على تحصيل المصالح وكف المفاسد. So it becomes appropriate that he does that with people with whom there's affiliation, there's helping one another, aiding one another, protecting one another, so that objectives can be fulfilled and harm can be prevented. ولعل ذلك من أسباب منعهم لمن يعقلون عنه في القتل حذارا حذار تحميلهم ويخف عليهم بسبب توزيع عليهم بقدر أحوالهم وطاقتهم وخففت أيضا بتأجيل عليهم 3 years. So the Sheikh is speaking about something here that is quite detailed, which I don't have knowledge of, so I will simply leave it alone. Barakallahu feekum. ومن حكمته وعلمه أن جبر أهل القتيل عن مصيبتهم بالدية التي أوجبها على أولياء القاتل. From the wisdom though is that Allah Azza wa Jal, يعني, he looked into the affair, or he was kind concerning the family of the deceased, that when they get some blood money, of course it's not going to make up for the death of a loved one, but it does make life easy. It is a form of relief. It is a form of relief. It relieves them from other burdens, financial burdens. Not that they will be happy that the person died so for them to take money, unless the people are like that. But at least it is some sort of, you know, something which will make him feel good. It's you know, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course the next ayah, the one which we will not discuss now, is the ayah, one of the most dangerous ayat in the book of Allah. One of the most dangerous ayat, and that one, the ayah which has the most punishment, or the most punishments promised in one ayah. The most punishment promised in one ayah is ayah number 93 of Surah An-Nisa, which we'll be addressing next week, inshallah. We'll be addressing in the future, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.